I'm Mike Goin, and you're tuned in to Sounds Good. I'm happy to welcome Chad Lampe back, and we're going to talk to Murray sportsman Kenny Darnell about several things going on in the region.
Hey, Kenny, thanks very much for stopping by.
Hey, glad to be here.
And Kenny also writes for the Murray Ledger and Times,
that's right.
And we are looking at his most recent article from the Ledger, first talking about turkey harvest in Kentucky and the numbers being lower than what you think should be a good number for Kentucky turkey hunters. Explain your reasoning for Kentucky's low harvest.
Well, Kentucky, as a whole, Kentucky's harvest has been setting records, and this year was a tremendous harvest, and I'm sure the Fish and Wildlife and all of us consider it to be a great success. Mm-hmm. But for the Purchase region specifically, we have been, our harvest has been declining for probably the last 5 years. That's something that's got us all a little bit concerned.
And you have referenced a couple other states in your comparison article. You look at Missouri, which has had a very strong turkey harvest, mm-hmm. over the last, long time. And part of the reason you feel that Missouri has a stronger harvest, is it is their season longer? Do they and they limit their, or does it start earlier?
It's basically the same as ours. Uh-huh. They limit their hunting day to 1 o'clock. Though after 1 o'clock, there's no turkey hunting, which lets the birds get back out and feed and then go to roost without being hassled.
And what's the issue associated with what prompts our small numbers in far western Kentucky?
This is just Kenny's opinion.
Of course, this is, we should, you know, identify that.
I'm not a wildlife biologist, and Fish and Wildlife will tell you that very quickly that, yeah. I'm not. But the birds have not shown the growth here in this region that they have, say, in the central part of Kentucky. And we think we've got the breadbasket of the state down here. This is the most perfect hunting lands, hunting habitat. And if anyone should be growing, it should be western Kentucky. The only thing that I can point to that might be a possibility is the addition of the fall turkey season, and that's taking some 6,000 birds that we know of, at least are checked in, out of the flock every year. And that's 6,000 birds that are not there in the spring when the spring season rolls around. So,
and there's value to having birds in the spring. That's typically whenever, is it the mating season that occurs?
That's the mating season. Spring's the fun time. That's when at daylight the big old toms gobble off the roost and they'll fly down and then they'll strut and display for hens, and you can actually call them, mimicking a turkey call. That's the fun part of the season. It's different from in the fall. They're just basically in feeding patterns.
And what makes western Kentucky, what makes our landscape good for turkey hunting?
We're agricultural, for one. Mm-hmm. We've got a nice blend of open land, forest land, pasture land, crop land. We don't have a lot of the rugged hills and mountains that other parts of Kentucky have. Just almost a paradise for hunters, mm-hmm. here.
And in Tennessee, they allow 4 tags, basically. You get they're tags for you to bag 4 turkeys, mm-hmm. and Kentucky allows 2, Missouri allows 2. And do you think that the tag limit should increase in Kentucky?
I don't think the tag limit should increase. Tennessee has a successful turkey season, and they have good numbers, even though that they allow 4 birds to be taken. Mm-hmm. But Kentucky, with the way we're declining here in the western end of the state, I don't think Kentucky could stand putting an extra bird into that bag limit.
Do you anticipate any changes to help out the turkey season?
None on the horizon. There's been some efforts before to kind of stabilize the opening day. Right now, opening day is the first Saturday closest to the 15th of the month. Mm-hmm. And I've always said you had to have a calculator and consult with a soothsayer and maybe a mystic to figure out when it's going to start. Uh-huh. And some of them want the season to start a little earlier, mm-hmm. and maybe run for an extra week. But other than that, there's no big changes coming.
If you limited hunting to the hours similar to Missouri, where you drop that, when you stop hunting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you've made the case that you could make the season longer, right?
You could. I think that would be a very positive step for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It would be a positive step for me because my wife expects me home at a certain time of day, so I would have to be home at 1 o'clock instead of sitting out all day. But just giving those birds a chance to get out and feed and do their thing with their girlfriends as they do, mm-hmm. in the spring, is with amount of being molested or, you know, hassled or, mm-hmm. chased or whatever, it tends to make the hunting better. Because I hunt Kentucky and Missouri, mm-hmm. and the Missouri birds just behave differently.
That's interesting. You know, again, we have to mention that these are your opinions,
and
it's a contentious conversation that we're having about for folks who are turkey hunters, if you're a member of the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife. So, again, it's a perspective that we're providing with this interview with Kenny today. You've also mentioned that lake levels are an issue for fishermen presently. Explain the background of your article associated with raising and lowering the lakes of the Kentucky Lake.
Well, there's two issues there.
Mm-hmm.
One being that the lake is a shallow lake, and it gets more shallow all the time due to siltation. At Winter Pool, there are a lot of obstructions, there are a lot of stumps, there are a lot of ridges and things that are just under the water, and that limits some access. Even at Summer Pool, the lake is still pretty low. There's still some places where you can get in trouble and hit underwater obstructions. There's always been talk of, you know, the tourism boards want the lake levels to be raised, and they want that level to stay high throughout the summer season. Right now, come July 1, the lake will start dropping toward Winter Pool, and that's rough on your entire tourist season. The other issue is during the spring when the game fish, the crappie, the bass, are spawning, the water level will come up. You know, if we have a lot of rain or we have some flooding on the lower Mississippi, the water level will come up. The fish will get into those areas that they couldn't have access to before and will spawn. And then the water will drop down off of the spawning areas.
And effectively that kills the offspring.
It just really reduces the quality of the spawn that year. And mm-hmm. our success in any given year is due specifically to the hatch from a few years back.
Mm-hmm. And your recommendation to stop this from happening?
Well, we've always advocated raising the lake 2 or 3 feet. Your wildlife biologist and fisheries biologist will tell you that, no, we need a 2-foot variation in the middle of the summer so that our mudflats can regrow vegetation and you can get some woody plants growing back there and get a lot of habitat for the fish. But if we started early and brought the lake up, say, 362, 363, instead of the 359 where Summer Pool is now, then 1st of July you could drop it back to 359. You would get that 2 to 3 foot variation that Fish and Wildlife guys want, and you could keep the lake up then through the summer at 359, which would be adequate for your pleasure boaters, and then drop it then in the fall.
And what do you think the hindrance is that prevents this type of action from being taken?
The big number one hindrance is flood control.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky Lake and Barkley Lake comprise 50% of the flood control, the holding capacity for TVA and the Corps of Engineers on that river system. And they are very reluctant to give up 2 to 3 foot of that ability to. But
because if they need it, then they need to use it,
they
right?
need to use it. Mm-hmm. But it could be done. They've looked at some of their other lakes, some of their older lakes. They've looked at their guide curves and their operational data, and they've been able to adjust the levels on those lakes more to help the fishermen and the pleasure boaters. And I think they probably could do that on Kentucky Lake, too, if they wanted to.
You told me an interesting story before we started talking, and this is off topic and not included in your article that's in the Murray Ledger and Times, but your story associated with the when Asian carp first started, you can use the term invading our region because they are an invasive species, and you have an interesting story associated with your father-in-law and how in one part Asian carp's movement into our region was discovered. If you want to tell about that.
He fished the Mississippi River probably every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a shoot off of the Mississippi one day, and he was throwing his cast net out for bait. And he saw a jumping fish. And he started his motor up, and he started out, and the fish behind him were just jumping out of the water. It was a crazy scene. Scared him to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't talk about it because he said, everybody will think I'm crazy if I talk about it. Well, then his nephew saw the same thing a few days later, and they got their heads together and figured out what it was. Went back down there with a video camera and actually videotaped it. The videotape has been aired on the station here, and it's been aired all over the world, that same
really?
videotape, because it just sort of went viral. But Fish and Wildlife, when they were told about this, they were reluctant to believe that it was such a problem. And I sent my tape up through the League of Kentucky Sportsmen to show the Fish and Wildlife that this really was a problem down here, that we have a lot of those fish. Well, now those things are not only in the Mississippi, they're in Kentucky Lake and Barkley Lake and just moving right along.
And there's a processing facility that's opening in Wycliffe soon, and there's an opportunity for commercial fishermen to make a go at a commercial venture with Asian carp in our region.
Hopefully so. The carp are filter feeders. They filter plankton out of the water so they don't bite lures or artificial baits. The only way you can catch them is with nets. And that's the commercial fisherman's foray there. And if there's a good enough market for them with a commercial fisherman, they will take a few out. But there is a tremendous number of those things already in the lake.
Then they're quite a sight when you see them jumping. They're also pretty dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Some guys out there actually wear helmets now in their boats. A 10-pound fish coming over and hitting you in the head going down the lake at 40 miles an hour is not a pretty sight.
No, that's dangerous. Kenny Darnell, you're an outdoors columnist for the Murray Ledger and Times. You're also just an avid outdoorsman, and we appreciate your time today.
Hey, it's been fun.
Thank you, Kenny. That's quite a lot of information we had going on there. I was enthralled.
Yeah. Well, you're an outdoorsman too, right, Mike?
Yeah, but a lot of stuff that I didn't know or didn't realize, so really appreciate it.
Thank you.